drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Krebs, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from my full-time job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast. Welcome to episode 25 of the Chasing Creative Podcast. It is just Abby and I today, as this is our last podcast episode for the first season of Chasing Creative. And we just wanted to start out today by thanking everyone so much for listening to us for an entire 25 episodes. That means a lot to us. I know. You too, Abby, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I said absolutely, my trademark in the first couple episodes. It feels like it's come full circle.
It has.
Yes. We so appreciate all of the support and everyone who's, tweeted or posted on Instagram or even just, sent us an email and said, thank you. This is great. This is meeting me right where I'm at. We've really enjoyed, I guess, talking to everybody and meeting so many cool new people through this podcast.
Yeah, that's definitely been the best part, I think, is like, it's like, oh, we're doing this project for fun, but look at all the awesome people we get to talk to and like get incredible wisdom from that we can apply to our own creative lives. Like, that's fantastic. So thank you to everyone who's been on the podcast and everyone who's shared and supported and listened to us. We really appreciate that. So like I said, this is going to be the last episode of our first season. And the reason that we are splitting our podcast up into seasons and taking a little break is because we all know that creative burnout is a real thing and we are trying to avoid it.
Yes, we are. We're trying desperately to keep this podcast from being, a creative burden. I know we've talked about that a little bit this season. And make sure it's still fun and it's still something that we look forward to doing, because it would be so, so sad to be like, ugh, I guess I have to go talk to somebody to record a podcast again today. I don't want our interviews to become boring to
right.
us.
And I think you'd definitely be able to tell the difference in like our level of interest and enthusiasm, where like mm-hmm. not necessarily even that a guest is like, oh, we're not interested in you, but like if we're burned out and we wish we were doing something else, like sitting and watching Netflix, let's be honest, then we're like our heart's not going to be in the interview, and you'll probably be able to tell as listeners. So we're like, why put ourselves through that? We're just going to take a little break and it's going to be good for us.
It is going to be good for us. I think so. And it's coming at a pretty opportune time for both of us in our lives. I know for listeners who are listening to this, it's probably the end of July for you of 2016, but we are recording at the end of May in 2016. So we're a couple months ahead of schedule, which is amazing because both Ashley and I have some big life happenings coming up this summer. And we wanted to kind of get this podcast done and out the door ahead of things that we may or may not be able to control.
So. Yeah, because I know that you are building a house, which comes with its own ups and downs of construction, I'm sure.
It does. I want to try to be available as much as possible to, help the project move along. But also we're going to be in kind of a temporary apartment for a few months while we wait for things to wrap up. And I don't think we're going to have internet, which is kind of an integral part of recording on Skype and uploading things to websites and writing show notes and all of those kinds of things. So it's really going to be very handy to have all of this kind of done and wrapped up as much as possible before I cut the internet cord for the summer.
I'm kind of jealous of your internet less summer. That sounds like a little bit of a dream to me. Like, how do I make that happen without basically quitting my job?
That's very true. Yes. Like, I'll still have the internet at work every day when I go in, so I can, keep up on Twitter and all that kind of thing, like over my lunch hour. But I doubt I'll have it. If we do have internet, we're going to be living in the boonies, so it will be pretty unreliable for the time being. Well, we'll see how that goes. But, and you have even bigger news, I think. You are having a baby.
Yes, I am. I don't know that a baby is bigger than a house.
No.
Hopefully not for my sake anyway. But yeah, so my second baby is due at the beginning of August. I'm sort of planning that the baby might show up in July just because my first Hadley came early. So we'll see what happens with this one. But sometime like middle of the summer-ish, I am going to have another child. And it took me a long time to adjust to like a new routine and a new schedule with Hadley. And I'm assuming that it's maybe going to take even longer with this next one, because now you've got two kids and you have to figure out how to, like, before it was like, oh, well, the baby's crying, you go get the baby. But now it's like your baby and your toddler are crying. Like, you have to sort of learn how to triage everything. And I don't know how to do that yet. So I am definitely going to need a little bit of time off. It'll be nice just to have off for the last couple months of my pregnancy, because for one thing, my lung capacity is decreasing. And so as like it gets harder to talk for long periods of time without sounding like I've been running a marathon. And I also just know that I'm going to get really tired coming up here and probably pretty cranky. And so even if the podcast isn't something that I would normally get burned out on, I feel like in this particular phase of life, I would get burned out on it. So breaks are good for both of us.
It is. I think it's, coming at, like I said, a pretty opportune time. But also I know, and this is something we've talked about on the podcast throughout the season, is, you know, we own this podcast. It's our thing. And what a shame it would be if we let other people's schedules kind of dictate what we did. So I know we kind of made the commitment to each other and to the podcast that we would make it fit our lives, regardless of what season the podcast was in or what season our lives were in. So I think, you know, ending it on a good note when we're all still feeling really great about it for the time being is probably the best decision we could make, so that we can focus on some other creative things while we're taking a little bit of a break.
Yeah, and that's something that it just sort of goes along with that whole like seasonal ebb and flow of the creative life that we talk about here. So, I mean, this could apply to any creative project. If you're feeling burned out on something, you know, like take a break on it for a little bit and do something else for a while. Because we're certainly planning to come back later this fall, and we are certainly not giving up creativity altogether. Over the summer, we do have some things planned to tackle during our hiatus. So what will you be working on, Abby?
Oh, goodness. There are so many things. We say we're taking creative breaks, but really it's like taking a break to work on other things. Yeah. I don't know if you're in the same boat, Ashley.
I am.
Because I'm hoping to be like a little bit more, you know, not internet connected, I'm really hoping to make some progress on this novel I've been trying to write for a couple of years. Because I won't have email to distract me in the evenings, or, you know, I won't be able to like schedule Instagram posts on a Tuesday morning. I'm hoping that I just have like a Word document open on my computer, and that every time I sit down and have, you know, an hour, I'm just going to sit down and write and try to knock out a lot of pages, if not maybe the rest of the pages. That's a big lofty goal. So knock on wood, the end of the summer, August, September, somewhere in there.
Oh my gosh. That's like, first of all, that's a fantastic goal. And not having internet is like the perfect way to accomplish it.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me think of what Jenny said in her episode when she was talking about the mini creative retreats. It's like, you don't need to go away for the whole summer to a mountain to get your novel written. You just need to give up internet for like 2 or 3 months and write like for an hour a day. And all of a sudden you're probably going to be like, look at all this free time I have.
Exactly. So I'm hoping like I don't get distracted by the little things. Like, I very much try to monitor like how much time I spend on my phone doing social media and things like that. But it is my job. Like, my day job revolves around the internet, PR, social media, being connected and keeping up on all those trends. And so I think it'll be nice to, at least in the evenings, like literally walk away from it and not be able to connect again for a while.
Yes. That would be awesome.
We'll see how that goes. So what about you? What are you planning to do?
Yeah, so...
besides, you know, create a small human.
Right. That sort of works on autopilot. You can multitask while you do that. I don't know. I have a lot of work stuff that I need to get wrapped up in the next couple of months, because I've been working really, really hard sort of ahead of time so that I can pay myself over my maternity leave this time. I didn't do that with Hadley, and this time I really wanted to. So I've basically just been working way too much, and it'll be nice to be able to not have one more thing to do in the evenings with podcast interviews, even though they're like way more fun than going and editing something at night. But so I'll hopefully catch up
on still something.
Yeah. So I'll hopefully catch up on work stuff. And then I have lots of knitting projects to do that I need to work on, because with a baby, you have like all these things to knit. Like there's a new baby blanket and like a Christmas stocking. And Hadley did not get her Christmas stocking finished until the March after her first Christmas. So my goal is to actually knit this one, like finished Christmas stocking before the holidays. And okay. I'm a really slow knitter. And so that means that I need to start like this summer for sure.
Okay. I'm impressed. I don't knit at all. I did crochet like back in junior high school. I made a scarf, I think, once upon a time, but I've not picked it up since then. Funny Christmas stocking story, if I'm allowed to go off topic.
Oh, go for
on
it.
Our podcast. Yes. The year that Scott and I got married, we got married in June and we moved into a house that winter. And shortly after we moved into our house, we get this package in the mail and it doesn't have a return address on it. And it's addressed to Scott, but it's in my grandmother's handwriting. And Scott opens it, and it's a Christmas stocking that matches mine that she made for me when I was born.
Oh, cute.
And my grandma is a very crafty person. She's quilted her entire life. She has, you know, made clothes for her and all of her children and her grandchildren her entire life. So it was so sweet to get a Christmas stocking that matched mine so that we could hang them up and they looked good together. So
that's adorable.
Funny Christmas story.
Yeah, our Christmas stockings do not match. Like we've got mine and Jacob's kind of match. They were both hand knitted by like other by different people when we were kids, but the style of them is pretty similar. And the style that I'm knitting our kids is in is a little bit more rustic. It's not the same. There's not as like bright, bold colors in them. And I'm like, I really want to redo my and Jacob's stockings so that all of them match. And he's like, no, you can't redo the ones that we had when we were kids. So there's like,
I know
ours match. And then our kids are different now, but that's okay.
It, you know, Christmas will go on.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. We don't even get to hang them up at the fireplace because I'm like, well, that's a fire hazard. And the cat sits there and like knocks them off the mantle anyway. So
as cats do.
Yes. Indeed. So, so hopefully
Christmas stockings aside, you'll get that done.
We make some progress on our creative projects this summer. Anyway, that is the goal.
It is. And it's kind of crazy though, that we have goals for our break. I don't know if that's maybe the type A part of us or the creative entrepreneur part of us that even during like these off times, we have to have things to do.
Yeah, that is a good point though. I think it's just because this is going to be such a long break for me. Like, I don't know, like we're having the whole summer off with the podcast, which is a big thing off our plates. And then, I'm planning to have most of my work wrapped up, hopefully early July. And I'm not planning on going back to work until November. So that's like a big chunk of time that I'll be off on maternity leave. And I think because it's just such a big span of time, I'm like, I know I'm going to want to do something.
Yeah.
Because when I take time off, I usually take time off of work for like, I try to take the whole month of December. If not the whole month of December, I try to do from like middle of December to middle of January, because that covers all the holidays plus our wedding anniversary. And during that time, I pretty much just read. Like, I don't do anything. I should business plan because it's the beginning of the year, but I don't. I just read for like 3 or 4 weeks straight. So depends on the break, I guess.
It's magical.
It is. It's pretty nice, except last year when I read the Divergent series and then I walked around like in grieving for
just
3 weeks.
Wailing and wringing your garments.
Yes, there was lots of gnashing of teeth last Christmas.
So you said your breaks are mostly ignoring the internet and reading entirely too much for a very long time.
Yes.
I don't know is that I have given myself a creative break, a true creative break, since I started blogging in 2014.
That is a long time to go.
Ridiculous. But I wasn't super consistent at first, but there was always that like nagging part of me that was like, you need to get better at this. You need to get better at this and more consistent. And so I don't feel like it was a break at all, even if like maybe I didn't post for a month. It wasn't an intentional like rest period. So the most I actually kind of give myself is maybe like a long weekend. But even then, since I work during the week, like weekends are when I get my stuff done.
Right.
So maybe like going on vacation. I guess if we go on like a week vacation, I don't do work, but I do read. And usually they're books that I want to review on the blog then. So I don't know. This will be a first for me, and I don't know if I can handle it.
I think you can. I think it will turn out to be good for you and for your novel. I'm really excited to see how much writing you get done over the summer. I feel like you're going to be like, well, I wrote a series.
The end. No. I don't know if I have a series in me. I don't know if I'm a series kind of writer. I say that. Maybe I'll regret it. Because I am also thinking about, and you know, you guys will be listening to this in July, so I've obviously made my decision by then, of taking a blog break for the summer as well, because I haven't stopped blogging since 2014. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, never, ever take a blog break. You'll lose all of your readers.
Oh,
and
that's such crap.
I guess I'm a little worried about that, but only because people tell me that, not because I actually know it's true. Because I know you take blog breaks and you do fine.
I take blog breaks all the time. And I mean, like, I have, my blog has a very small readership. Like, my blog and my email newsletter are very, very small for somebody who's been blogging for as long as I have. I started when I started my business in 2012. And I used to blog all the time, or like if I wasn't going to be able to blog because I was on vacation or something, I felt all this pressure to blog ahead, or I felt all this pressure to find guest posters. And it was really only in the last 2 years or so where I was like, this is crap. Like, not enough people read this in the first place for it to matter that much. And I was like, my clients aren't going away because I blog mainly for business. It's like, people are still hiring me to do their stuff. I have more work than I can handle right now. Why do I put all this stress on myself that I have to keep blogging? So yeah, I would not worry about taking a blog break. Like, for the most part, and maybe this is just like a sign of like how poorly my blog does in the first place, but like my statistics do not change over that month where I don't blog. Like, I've got some tweets that always go out promoting past posts. I've got some pins that always go out promoting old stuff. And like, for the most part, I don't see that much of a shift in traffic at all. So,
okay, that's unless good to know. It's good to hear.
Unless you're actually like, your living is your blog, like you rely on affiliate links or sponsorships or something like that, then you might need to reconsider if you're going to be able to take a break or not. But like, I do it all the time and it does not matter.
Which is not the case for me, because as I've said before on this blog, I've literally never made a dollar, or on this podcast, I've literally never made a dollar from my blog. I'm getting closer, you know, that they don't like kick you an Amazon check until you reach $10 in affiliate marketing or whatever. And I'm not there yet, which is ridiculous after 2 years.
Okay. So off topic story about Amazon. Like, so the Amazon affiliate thing, like, I was an affiliate for such a long time and like never, I didn't even bother to check in on it because I was like, I earned so little money from it. I was like, whatever, I'm never going to get a check. When they actually sent me money, I misread it as a charge. And I was like, I didn't spend $10 at Amazon. Did someone steal my credit card? And I was like about ready to call them. And I was like, oh wait, that's credit. That's not a charge. It's like they gave me money and I had to go back in and see like, oh, I finally earned $10. It's been 2 years.
Exactly. So I think I'll get there maybe in 2016. We'll see. But yes, I'll have earned $10 in 2 years. It's really a great ROI, guys.
Yes. Amazon for the win.
Yeah. So reading articles about like, yes, you can take a blogging break, no big deal. And hearing you say that is like reassuring me that it's probably something I need to do. Mostly because like over the last 2 years, I've held myself to a very strict schedule. So in 2015, I made the commitment to myself mostly to make sure that I could do it and actually keep a commitment to myself and not only to other people. I blogged every Tuesday and Thursday of the entire 2015. And in 2016, I knew I needed to cut back. So I decided I would blog every Tuesday. And so far I've done that, but it's going to be tricky if I don't have the internet.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I might just kind of proactively eliminate that stress and eliminate that overhead and, you know, maybe blog once a month or maybe blog once the summer if I have something awesome to say and I feel really compelled to do so. But otherwise, I think I'm going to, you know, not be doing the podcast, take a break from blogging, and mostly just enjoy the summer, work on the novel, read some books, and watch a house go up.
Yes. And that is one of my big things, is enjoying the summer. And I don't know if other people in the country or people who live in other climates have this same feeling about it that I do, but living in the upper Midwest like we do, our summers are short and the rest of the year is like it's definitely enjoyable to be outside during the winter if you have hobbies that are like outdoor winter hobbies. Like I like ice fishing because it comes with a heater usually. but I like there's just our summers are really short. Like I don't think people elsewhere realize like if there's like a perfect 70 degree day here, people legit take off work for that because that's like it's a rarity. Like it's usually too hot or too cold or raining
or really windy or kind of grayish cloudy. We're right. Making the Midwest sound horrible. It's not. But on like a, you know, sunny, perfect days per year basis, we're definitely like ranking lower than the Carolinas.
I know. I just heard someone on, I cannot remember who wrote this. I think it was somebody on Twitter or Instagram within the last week who had recently moved to one of the Carolinas and was like every day they were like, oh my gosh, it's such a beautiful day for like 5 weeks straight. And their husband was finally like, it's like that here all the time. All the we time. Don't live in the Midwest anymore. Like,
that's funny.
It's going to be this way.
Yeah. I saw a meme the other day and I cannot even remember where, but it was this picture of this gorgeous, obviously like midsummer day. The grass is just lush and green and there's a stream and the sun is out. And it says, I remember summer in Wisconsin. It was on a Tuesday.
That is so accurate.
It is. Like, it was on a Tuesday. Oh. It's great.
Yeah, so I just feel this, like, desperation to really enjoy the summer. Mm-hmm. And I get really resentful of things that take me away from that. So I try to, like, drop as many projects as I can that I can't do outside anyway. Like, I'll still write outside and I'll knit outside and that kind of thing. But, like, even in years past, I've tried to drop down on client work over the summer because I just get angry if I'm like, I'm sitting inside and it's a nice day out and I'm self-employed. I shouldn't have to do that. I should exactly. do what I want.
I love that perspective. That's perfect.
Yeah. So one of the things we wanted to talk about in this episode was some of our favorite lessons and tips that we have learned from our guests, because there have been so many really wonderful things that people have shared with us and talked about. And we just thought it would be nice to sort of go over some of our favorites that we're planning to apply in our own lives. So did you have anything that really stuck out to you, Abby?
Yeah, I really should have probably gone back through all of our episodes and written something down. We've done. It's a little bit amazing to me that we have gone from literally 0 to 25 episodes in 5 months.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. And we taught ourselves GarageBand at the same time. That was impressive.
Because this podcast didn't exist even in our brains until like October, November of 2015, and then we kind of did some preliminary planning in December. And then started recording episodes and putting them out there. And so the fact that we've done all of this work in 5 months is leaving me a little, I guess, shell-shocked. And I don't even know what to talk about. One thing, and you've kind of already mentioned it on the episode today, is about taking mini creative retreats. Talking with Jenny from Little Girl Designs was really, like, revelatory to me in the fact, like, oh, yeah, I don't need a whole week to go hole up in a cabin in the woods without the internet to write a novel. I can do it for 2 hours on a Saturday morning, or I can commit to, you know, taking a vacation day and not going out of town, but just spending it on my creative projects and kind of, you know, creating a retreat that doesn't cost me money, that I don't have to buy a ticket for, and they don't have to fly anywhere else in the country to do. And that's really stuck with me. And so I've kind of been, you know, like right now I'm prepping to move and all of that kind of thing. Like there's no retreat aspect in life right now. But I've been thinking about that, like as I've gone through my weeks, it's like, oh yeah, I don't have anything going on Saturday. I'm going to make a latte and I'm going to sit down at 9 a.m. and I am going to write. And that's been really transformative in the last few weeks.
Oh, that sounds so wonderful. Like partially maybe just to me, because I'm like, if it's 9 a.m. on a Saturday and I want to sit down with a latte, I can't. But just because my toddler would be like, what are you doing? Pay attention to me. Yes, I have caught her. Like my drink of choice is iced mochas. And if I leave them where she can reach them, I will walk back in and she'll be like drinking my iced mocha. Like this is
you
a problem.
You don't need caffeine, small child.
No. Well, I get decaf because I'm pregnant right now.
Okay.
and I'm sensitive to caffeine anyway, so I get decaf, but there's still all that chocolate in there. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, this should not taste good to you. You are 1 year old. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, that's fabulous. I love that.
Yeah.
I have this crazy picture in my head of this tiny little toddler just running around with coffee in her hands and like wild hair streaming behind her.
She does have wild hair, but it looks so ridiculous because I don't know if you've ever seen, I can't remember what it's called. There's a Pinterest site, or not a site. There's like a Pinterest user. I'm not explaining this well. There is a Pinterest user who does this thing called My Well-Dressed Toddler Daughter.
Yes, with quinoa. I think.
Yes, quinoa. And then quinoa. She has all these friends with like ridiculous names, and I cannot remember the name of the woman who put it all together, but it's hilarious. If you have a Pinterest account, you need to look up My Well-Dressed Toddler Daughter because it's the funniest thing you'll ever see. But Hadley reminds me of that when I catch her with my Starbucks because she's like, she's got all this crazy hair, and like sometimes she's wearing clothes from the Baby Gap, which makes her look like that, like well-dressed. Like she's typically dressed better than I am on any given day, right? And so so she's standing there with my coffee and I'm like, what is my life? Like this Pinterest account is like right in front of me.
That's great. Like, is this coffee fair trade? I don't know.
That's exactly the sort of caption they'd put on it.
That's hilarious, though, that you mentioned that she has a, you know, is dressed better than you most days. Today, we're getting ready to promote June Dairy Month in the state of Wisconsin. That's one of our big jobs every summer. And so we were like measuring and getting clothes ready for our cow mascot. Like someone has to wear a cow costume. I am luckily too short to do it, so I do not have to be the cow.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, we have a cow mascot. Her name is June Holstein, June the dairy cow. And she gets clothes. She has like dresses to wear because, you know, we can't have a naked cow. She's going to have like three dresses and they're going to be all reversible. So she's actually going to have six dresses with different colored sashes for her different events. And I'm like, oh my goodness, our dairy cow mascot has a better wardrobe than I do.
So I'm imagining that there is like a custom costume design process happening with this. Yes. Like
the cow has been special ordered. And then a coworker's parent who sews is like making all the dresses and things, but it started with me like stapling a sheet to the cow costume in the shape that we wanted the dress. It was a great week.
So if anyone ever thought that Wisconsin didn't take their dairy seriously, think again.
You do now. We take our dairy very seriously. So
oh my goodness. So, yeah. That's perfect.
Well-dressed toddlers and costume cows. Where else can we take this?
We are so off topic when it's just the two of us, but that's okay.
It's a last episode hurrah.
It is. It's okay to be a little goofy. We're like getting all of the things out that we've had to like not say on the podcast for the last several months.
I guess one thing we should probably address is we're not going to be talking on a weekly basis anymore.
Yeah, that's going to be so weird. I figured I'd still email you or tweet at you all the time, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to have like bi-weekly Skype dates just to like get all the jitters out. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. I was like, well, you'll probably just like reply when you're on your lunch break because that's when you'll have internet. But I was like, I feel like I'm still going to send you things. Like if I read a book or something, I'm going to like be like, oh, Abby needs to know about this or, you know.
I like that.
Because right now we email, like, it's sort of slowed down within the last couple of weeks as we're winding down, but we would email each other like four times a day.
It was pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'd have multiple email chains going. And then at one point we'd like condense them all into one. It was kind of impressive in, you know, March, April when we were getting this thing off the ground.
Yes. Yeah, there was a stretch there where it was like we had all these emails and they were all just like we would reply to all these separate emails at the same time, but they were all going back to each other. I feel like there's like a lesson in how to be more productive there. Like probably. We should have found a better way to do that, but that's okay. They weren't like annoying emails. They were fun emails. So it's acceptable.
Isn't it funny how some emails you're like, ugh, I have to deal with this now. And other emails you're like, ooh, look, they emailed me back. Yay, yay, yay.
Yeah. There's definitely people you're more excited to talk to than other people, for sure.
I would agree with that. So we've covered creative breaks and why we're taking one and what we think we're going to do on our own creative breaks. I guess, do you have any tricks or tools or, I guess, things that you've learned this last season that you're going to implement over the summer to help give you some breathing space? Because this podcast is all about making time for creativity.
Yeah, so this is maybe a little bit more business related, but something that I am trying right now is there's a virtual assistant that I've worked with in the past just on like short one-off projects, just things that I wanted some help with. Because I'd never really been, I'm like sort of a control freak and I'd never been comfortable outsourcing things to people. And then there was always the money portion of it where it's like, oh, can I really afford to outsource this? Or I could do that myself. There's no reason I shouldn't do that myself. And I feel like I'm really at the tipping point in my business right now where I have enough work right now that I could take away all of the aspects of running the business and just do my client work. And that would take up all of my normal work time during the week. So all the other business stuff is happening during nights and weekends, which I used to try to not work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is in preparation for maternity leave because I'm working extra right now. But I'm sort of thinking in my head, like, okay, if this volume of work keeps up when I come back later in the fall, I'm really not going to want to be doing all this stuff by myself. Yeah. So I have made the leap and I've outsourced a couple of things. One of them is website maintenance. So somebody goes in and I think I get 1 hour's worth of website tweaks every month. So like if I have just something little that I want changed on my website, instead of doing it myself, I just send her an email and tell her what I want done.
Cool.
And she does it, which is nice. And then she goes through every week and backs everything up for me, sends me a report, makes sure everything's updated, running smoothly. And if anything were to go wrong, like my site were to crash, she would fix it for me instead of me having to fix it, which is great peace of mind.
Yeah. And also many, many hours. Like if your website goes down, you could spend 3 days trying to get it back up again. Who knows?
I know. Yeah, so that's one thing I've outsourced. And then another thing that I'm outsourcing that's brand new, where I'm just starting to do that now, is working with that same virtual assistant on a retainer basis. Okay. So I get a certain number of hours every month, and I can send her whatever little things I have for her to do. But one thing that she's doing consistently for me is going to be scheduling my social media. So scheduling my Pinterest pins through Board Booster, and I already have Edgar set up to do a lot of the work of my social media account on Twitter, but I was having trouble finding time to consistently schedule to promote other people's work. Like I would read an article and I'd be like, oh, that's really great. I should schedule that. I want to share that with people. And then I would forget about it, or I would have like 5 million tabs open because I meant to schedule them all and I hadn't, and I didn't want to forget about them. So now I'm working with a virtual assistant to do that. And I set up an if this, then that recipe where if I save something, if I save an article in Pocket, either on my desktop or through my phone, it automatically goes to our Asana task list and she will see it there and she will schedule it for me.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I literally push one button and she puts it into Edgar and Edgar schedules it according to the preset schedule. So yeah, so basically social media is my very long-winded answer to that question. Things I'm doing to give myself more breathing room over the summer. I think I'm going to have her continue doing that even while I'm on maternity leave.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that's just because social media is just one of those things where it's like, it's really hard to turn off because you feel like you have to always be there. And I do still check in. I check in several times a day on Twitter for sure. And at least once or twice on Instagram as well. Pinterest, I don't always because you don't have to on Pinterest. Mm-hmm. It's not a high engagement place, but, you know, it's just a one way to sort of take off that feeling of like, oh, but I have to still schedule this even if I'm on a break, because really I don't. I can just enjoy the blogs that I like reading. And when I come across something that I want to share, I click one button and I know it's going to get shared.
That's amazing. That's a great setup. Will you maybe help her or have her manage like maybe your email inbox while you're on maternity leave? Or do you have autoresponders set up?
I'm going to set up an autoresponder. I don't think I'm going to have her manage my email just because, see, and there's the control mm-hmm. thing again. Email is so hard for me to give up. Like, it just feels like such a, like, maybe it's just because I use it professionally, but mm-hmm. it just feels like my thing, you know, like I don't want to miss anything. I need to make sure I see it all. So one thing I was going to do, or that I'm thinking about doing over the summer to cut down on emails, is unsubscribing from some business type newsletters. There are definitely people's blogs that I love being subscribed to that are just people that I have like connected with mm-hmm. that I'm not going to give up because I want to keep up to date with what they're doing. But if I'm not actively involved in running my business because I'm on leave, I don't need my inbox filling up with the newsletters of people who are going to tell me to join this webinar mm-hmm. and you like, this is how this. You get more sales. Exactly. Yeah. And not that they're not useful and not that it's not good advice, but I know that what I'm going to do is save them all and plan on reading them all yep. later. And I will never act on them, or I will think about them and worry about acting on them while I'm supposed to be on break. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to unsubscribe while I'm on leave. And if I decide that, you know, oh, I really liked that person, I'll subscribe again when I'm back to work.
It's a good plan. Do you currently use Unroll Me?
You know, I've tried it and I don't like it. Okay. I think I'm the only person in the world who doesn't. Do you use it?
I do. And not typically for like businessy related emails, more for all of those like sales emails. Because there are a few like clothing stores or whatever that I like to shop or I like to get the coupons, but I don't want them dinging in Gmail all day long because it's all day long and every day. Yeah. Like I do not need a Banana Republic email every day or twice a day. Like they are kind of ridiculous. So I have set all of those up to go to Unroll Me. And then if I don't need clothes at the moment, I just don't open Unroll Me that day. And then I'm not, you know, tempted and I don't have to see it and I don't have to like process that information. But if I do decide like 2 weeks later, like, oh, I actually do need new dress pants, I can go back into the Unroll Me folder that's in Gmail and like see, does J. Crew have a 30% off sale like they always do? And exactly. grab the coupon from there. So that's how I use Unroll Me most of the time.
That would be smart. I think the reason I don't use that is because I have an email that's just for coupon sites.
Okay.
So I only check it if I need clothes.
Exactly.
And when I'm in there checking it, I'll like mass delete everything that's in there except for the recent coupon that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. But why don't you explain how Unroll Me works a little bit in case people haven't heard of it? Because I think I heard about it a year or so ago. I think it's still kind of a new thing.
It's newer. Yeah, I've been doing it probably for 2 years or getting close to. But it's a service. It's Unroll dot me, I think is their URL. So UNROLL.ME. And if you Google it, it'll pop right up. But you sign up and what it does is it kind of searches through your inbox. I've only used it with Gmail. I don't know if it works with other platforms. Searches through your inbox and identifies anything that you're subscribed to and allows you to click a button to either keep it in your inbox, like it'll keep coming to your inbox every time they send out an email. You can add it to your roll up or you can unsubscribe right there from that little taskbar, which is amazing. And then anything that you choose to keep in your inbox keeps coming as normal. Anything that you unsubscribe from just disappears forever. And anything you decide to add to your roll up gets literally like rolled up into one email a day. And you can kind of choose when to receive that. I think they have like morning, afternoon, or evening options. I get mine in the morning. So about 8:30 every morning, one email arrives in my inbox and I click on it and it has little thumbnails of every single email I've gotten in the last 24 hours that I decided to roll up so that I only see them once a day. It's amazing.
Okay, this is a huge display of my pregnancy brain, I have to say. Okay, but like, was one of our recent episodes the one where someone was telling us, or you were telling us, that you can pause your email?
Yes, we were just talking with Steph Hammer a couple of episodes ago. And okay. I don't remember, was it Steph? It was Eliza. It was Eliza
Mata. The one that we just did. Oh my gosh, you guys.
Like 2 days ago.
I was going to say, like, you guys don't understand, but that was literally 48 hours ago. We were just talking to her, and I am like, see, this is why I need a break. Pregnancy brain is real.
You don't understand.
Okay, but that would be an awesome tool as well. If you were, like, even if you're just trying, like, if you're not taking, like, a full creative break, but you really want to be, like, free from distractions for a while, and email is a big distraction for you, like, to be able to pause your email, that would be so fantastic.
I think you can install a Google, like, a Gmail pause button, and there's also one called a boomerang that allows you to write all of your emails, but not send them until a certain point so that you're not caught in that like email cycle of I responded to them, they responded to me, when you don't want to be. Like, don't send these emails till Sunday night and then no one will get them till Sunday night and I have a whole weekend of nobody responding to me.
Right. And that's how I've used Boomerang in the past, but I'm one of those people who, like, as soon as I get an email, I have to open it because it's like, I just have to. And then as soon as I open it, I like, if I don't immediately compose a response, I spend the next however many days composing a response in my head and like reminding myself to send that email. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so right now what I do is I just sit down right away and boomerang it. But it would be kind of nice to just not have to think about it because my email was on pause.
Absolutely.
So, totally going to look into that.
Yeah. We'll do some research and we'll put some links in the show notes, guys, in case you also need an inbox pause, which doesn't everybody.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I feel like the world needs that. So was there anything you were going to be doing to give yourself a little bit of extra time and breathing room besides not having Wi-Fi?
Yeah, not having Wi-Fi, I think, is going to be a big one. You know, letting go of the blog, I think, is also going to give me a lot more breathing room than what I've had in the past. And I think even because I won't be reading books that I'm necessarily going to instantly go review on the blog. So I won't have like book deadlines so that I have something to write about on the blog or anything like that. I feel like I'm going to be able to maybe read a little bit more organically, which will be nice. I'm also trying to, and this is maybe really pie in the sky, trying to get like 90% of my social media scheduled out for the summer before I lose my internet. So the next few evenings might be a little bit crazy, but I'm hoping to get like everything, all of the podcast promotion and that sort of thing, like scheduled out and ready to go so that I don't ever go, oh, you know, Susie's episode went live this week and I didn't even talk about it because it just hasn't been on my mind. So I want to see if I can't kind of get ahead of myself and not have to like do a lot of those little tasks that distract you from the big things if I don't have to.
Yes, that is such a good plan. And it's like, isn't that how it always goes? Like, there's just these tiny little things that distract you from the things that are like actually important to you. Mm-hmm. And it's just so frustrating because then you look back and you're like, what did I spend all afternoon doing? Oh, yeah. Like social media scheduling, email, like I could have been writing a book.
Exactly. Yeah. Or even like you'd mentioned in another episode that were you ever to have the goal to write a book, you would have to quit blogging in order to make that happen. And then you thought like, oh, well, I mean, that would really be an unproductive year if I didn't blog all year. And you're like, wait a minute, I would have a book.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Yes, blogs are much more manageable because they're smaller and they come out quicker. But if you didn't blog and say like all of your blogs are 1,000 words, you could have 52,000 words by the end of the year. That's a pretty impressive number.
Pretty easily. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like even if you aren't planning on taking like a real creative break this summer at all, maybe even just trying to take a break from some of the things that distract you. Like just think of like one thing that distracts you and just figure out how you can turn off that thing for a little bit.
That's a really good suggestion.
Yeah. The problem is, see this, I sound like such a whiner. The thing that distracts me is my child. So
you just pause Hadley for a couple of months.
Yeah. Although I have to say, I feel like having two kids is going to be the thing that finally makes me get up early in the morning again.
Yeah.
Because right now I can like manage Hadley and get ready at the same time. It's very slow. It's a very slow process, but I can do it. But I feel like a newborn and a toddler, I'm going to be like, I'll just have to sacrifice the sleep and wake up early if I ever want to shower, ever.
That's understandable. I know when I've done, we used to work with teenagers at our church for several years. And whenever I would do like mission trips with them or like go to camp with them for the week or something like that, I would very intentionally get up at least 15 minutes before the girls. So they would all tell me like what time they wanted to get up in the morning, because or what time that they needed to get up in the morning in order to do whatever activity we needed to do. And so if they were getting up at 6 a.m., I set my alarm for 5:45 because I needed to get up and I needed 15 minutes of silence before I had a dozen teenage girls like chattering around me for the next 16 hours.
Yeah, that would be a very different kind of distraction and like stress, I feel like. Not even necessarily stress, but just like if you're an introvert, that would take a lot of energy out of you.
It does. I love the girls. I love teenagers. I think they're at this like really special place in life where they're learning to be adults. And I think it's kind of a cool place, but they are exhausting.
Yeah. Things to look forward to someday. Yeah, a neighbor stopped me today. Sorry, we are so all over the place.
That's
but
okay.
A neighbor stopped me today while I was on a walk with Hadley. And she was like, oh, you know, enjoy these years when you still have some control over them. And I was like, I have no control over my two-year-old. Like, very little.
She
like,
is if not I, to be reasoned with.
Like, if I exert authority over her, she screams at me. So, like, I feel like this is just, like, the first adolescence, you know? Like, this is the first teenagerhood.
Have you read, and I've not read Momastery for a couple of years now, but I loved her one blog called Carpe Diem. Do you remember that one?
I don't think I've read that one.
Oh.
I follow her on Facebook very closely. Mm-hmm. Like, I read almost all of her Facebook updates, but I'd almost never read her blog, which is, like, so weird to me, but that's how it goes.
It does. You follow what you can. Several years ago now, she'd written this blog, and I want to say it, like, landed on Huffington Post or something, and that's maybe, like, how her blog blew up. I could be getting this 100% wrong, and I might get hate mail. I don't know. but she had written this blog about the same kind of thing. Like, people are always saying, you know, seize the day, or, oh, you know, you're going to regret when they're not this little anymore. And she's like, and it hit me on a day that was not a good day because I did not want to seize it. And it's 100% priceless. And I think any parent of small children would completely understand. I know I had small siblings and I still completely understand. So I might have to look that one up and send it to you, Ashley.
Yeah, that would definitely be some good reading for me.
Yeah.
And as you said that, I was actually thinking of, okay, sorry, this is like, I have to explain my train of thought here. So as you were talking about that, I was like, I listened to one of the most recent Coffee and Crumbs podcasts, which is Coffee and Crumbs is the, it's like a collective blog about motherhood. Callie Fian, one of the guests we had a couple episodes ago, has written for them. So anyway, they have a podcast now, and it's just like a bunch of moms being real about motherhood. And then I was thinking about their latest episode, which is about potty training, and so that was funny. and then I was thinking that we should tell people other podcasts that we like that they should listen to while we are on break.
Yeah.
So that was my, like, that's where my
that
brain
was your
went.
Train of thought. So obviously you like Coffee and Crumbs.
Yes. I don't know how entertaining it would be for people who aren't mothers.
I was just gonna say, it doesn't sound like my demographic, but you know,
it's one of those things where it's like a been there done that kind of podcast where you're like, it's like a preaching to the choir kind of thing. Like, we just need to hear that we're not the only people
solidarity.
That these bizarre things happen to. Yeah But if you're a mom, I recommend that one.
Yeah, Coffee and Crumbs. I love Freakonomics. That's the nerd in me thinks that one is fabulous. It every week, I think it comes out, they take some topic and they deep dive into like the economics behind whatever topic it is. So there was one, a really good one on the gender pay gap several months ago. And they did one about the economics of sleep, which is fascinating. And considering how much we love sleep on this podcast, anyone should go listen to that. So that one I really, really enjoy. It feels like I'm learning something really like intense while I listen to that one.
Yes, I like that one as well because you told me about it.
hey, it works.
Yeah, some other podcasts that I have been liking lately. The Lazy Genius podcast just started up recently, and that one is by Kendra Adachi, who was we just keep saying who was on the show a few episodes ago. I can't remember which episode anybody was anymore, but she was on the show at some point. And she has started her Lazy Genius podcast, which is fantastic for pretty much anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only gotten a chance to listen to the first episode so far, and it was just so good. I mean, it covered topics from like moving to a different city and trying to figure out life to making friends as an adult to, I mean, just being kind to people. It was a really, really good podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kayla Hollitz just launched a podcast, along with her Create Lounge community. So if you're interested in like creative community sort of stuff, you should definitely look that up. And there's another one that I was listening to lately that, hold on, I'm going to need to like do some real quick Googling.
I was gonna say, while you're Googling, we'll probably... I don't know if anyone else is listening to the Hope Writers podcast.
It's been on my list.
Yeah. One of our favorite books that we talked about over and over again this year was Emily Freeman's A Million Little Ways, which is all about like learning to be a creative person where you are and how there's a bunch of different ways that you can be creative. So we're a big fan of Emily Freeman, and her sister and their dad and a friend. I don't think Brian's related to the rest of them. But the four of them started a podcast kind of all about writing and the writing process. And so like the first episode, I think, was what you should know before you get a book deal, or things I wish I'd known before I got a book deal. And then other topics as well, like what are some really genius things you do that you didn't know you did? It's been a fun one. And they just have such a really great like dynamic because they're sisters and their dad, and they just have a lot of fun with it.
Okay. See, that one's been like, again, like I said, it's been on my list, but there are so many. I feel like the number of good podcasts to listen to has just exploded lately because my iTunes is like full, and I used to be able to keep up pretty well, and now I'm just not. So maybe that's what I'll do over the summer. I'll catch up on all the podcasts I'm behind on.
I just heard a tip from someone, and I'm not sure I could do it on all podcasts, but listen to your podcasts at like 1.5 speed.
I don't know. How do you do that? Because like I listen to them right from iTunes on my computer. How do you do that if you're in iTunes?
I don't know. I never listen to them. I listen to them while I'm driving to work. And so I can just like plug in my phone and it like auto routes through my stereo system or something. And on the app, there's this little like button in the bottom left hand corner, and it says like 1x. But if you click it goes to 1.5x. And you can even do, I think, up to 2. That would be way too fast. I don't think you could absorb information. And I think you can like slow it down too. So if you're ever listening to a podcast and they talk too fast, you can slow them down.
Oh, that is good to know. See, I've never listened to a podcast on my phone because if my phone is out, Hadley wants it. So 99% of the time, I don't actually know where my phone is. Like people will text me and be like, you didn't respond to me. And I'm like, yeah, my phone has not left my nightstand today. And it's like 11 o'clock in the afternoon because it's just in my bedroom, like unless I'm going somewhere and then I grab it because I'm desperately afraid of being stranded on the road without a phone.
These are things like northerners worry about.
Like I have no life skills.
Yeah.
So that's a really good tip for people who do listen on their phones, though. I could see that being helpful.
So I'm still experimenting. Today was my first day. I will let you know how it goes.
Sounds good. Yeah. And I found the name of the other podcast I was thinking of that I was blanking on. It's called Uniquely Woman. And the tagline is Where Womanhood and Faith Intersect. And that's by Lisa and Felicia. And that's a new one that I've been listening to lately that I'm really enjoying. It's just a lot of talk about being a Christian woman in today's culture. And there's also quite a bit of talk about motherhood, I would say. So if you, if you're not interested in faith and or motherhood, you can probably skip that one. But if those are things that appeal to you, it's a really good one.
Cool.
So
I think that's a pretty good list.
So now you have things to listen to while we're not around for a couple months.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's a great thing to share with people. Do you listen to audiobooks at all?
I have been, I'm like right on the fence of thinking that I'm going to start and give it a try, but I haven't because I'm so like, I'm afraid to miss anything. Yes. And with Hadley, I feel like I would constantly be going back and rewinding because I missed something. And if I miss something in a podcast, it's usually not a huge deal. And I just sort of go on without it. But if I miss something in a book because she was screaming or I had to change her diaper, I would be genuinely like, no, I need to go back and hear that.
That would be tough. I don't listen to audiobooks. I think because I read faster than I listen to things. And so I always feel like audiobooks go really slow. But maybe I could do like a 1.5 speed audiobook. I'm thinking this could life hack a lot of things. But also to me, reading feels like a break from the rest of everything else. And I'm afraid if I started listening to audiobooks like I do podcasts, it won't feel as like luxurious.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing to note. See, and like, maybe this is weird for somebody who podcasts, but I'm not a great audio learner. Like if something is just audio and there's no video or visual thing to go along with it, I have a really hard time concentrating on it. Which is, I think that's why podcasts work so well for me, is because I sort of view them as like a conversation. But the podcasts that are just one person talking, I have a harder time honing in on because it feels like a lecture or seminar to me. And then I sort of start zoning out. So I think that's also part of my fear with audiobooks is if it's just one person talking and it's not like a conversation. I suppose in fiction it could be like a conversation, but you know. I'm just so afraid of missing things. Maybe I just need to give it a try on one of those free trials of Audible or something and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, if you do, let me know how it works.
Yeah, and if you give it a shot, let me know how it works. But I agree that reading is sort of, it's just in a different zone from podcasts for me. Like they're too, I don't listen to podcasts to relax. I listen to them to multitask because I have to fold laundry, so why not?
I have to drive to work, so I might as well do something productive than listen to radio commercials.
Exactly.
So, books. We always talk about books. Are we going to talk about books
today? Yeah, we do. We have to.
We have to.
It's required. And I think what we decided we were going to talk about is the books that we are planning on reading while we're on our little creative break.
Okay. I have had Middlemarch sitting on my desk for about a year now, and I've still not cracked the cover. So I think, and because it's such a big book, and I'm not usually intimidated by big books, but this one's like a classic that everyone's supposed to have read, and I haven't read it. So it's a little intimidating. Between that one and Anna Karenina, like both of those are like just sitting there staring at me like, you need to read us. So I'm thinking if I'm living a slightly slower pace of life this summer that I might actually dig into Middlemarch, and I'm hoping that happens.
Way to pick a light beach read for the summer.
Exactly, yes.
If it makes you feel any better, I have never read Middlemarch, and I got halfway through Anna Karenina before realizing that on the beach in Mexico was not the best place to read this like great Russian novel.
That is a tough one.
And I set it down and I was like, I'll get back to it when I'm back home. And I did not ever get back to it, but I watched the movie, so I know how it ends.
Okay, was the movie good?
I thought so. I mostly just appreciated, like, I like movies that have really, like, grand costumes. And I appreciated it for that perspective. I would like to finish the book someday, but it's been so long that I feel like I'd need to start over. And that's a commitment in itself. I will say, if anyone out there is reading Anna Karenina or has plans to read it this summer, skip over all the sections about farming because they don't matter to the plot. Like, there's a lot of musing about farming, and that's all, like, it's important stuff if you're going to be, like, reviewing it for a literature class, because it all ties back into, like, what Tolstoy was saying with the book and blah, blah, blah. But if you're just reading it for, like, the plot, and it's not for a class, none of the farm stuff matters, and you could probably cut out, like, 25 to 50 pages in a shot if you just skip it.
Oh, wow. I've not even, like, gotten far enough in the book ever to note that there's farming in it, so that's a great tip.
Yes. So, okay, this is the part where I'm like, worst English major ever, but I don't even know what Middlemarch is about.
To be honest, I don't either. but it's supposed to be this like wonderful Victorian novel written by a woman, and I've never read it, and I feel like a really bad like feminist literarian. I just made up a word. So obviously I need to read more classics so that I have better words to use.
Oh my goodness. Well, you'll have to report back when we're back for season two and let us know how that went for you.
I will. And I will say it was another podcast guest. It was Callie Fian, who wanted to read Middlemarch last year, and both of us just fell off the wagon and didn't do it. So maybe I will have to email her when I get off this podcast and be like, hey, I just committed to reading Middlemarch in a very public fashion, and you should do it too.
Yeah. Although you haven't technically committed until July
this
publicly.
Is true.
So
this is true.
Technically, you've got several months before I have to start.
Way to let me off the hook right away, Ashley.
I know. I shouldn't encourage you to not read
That's
good
okay.
books. I'm assuming it's good. I have no
so
idea.
So what are you going to read this summer?
I would kind of like to take a slower pace with reading. So I feel all this pressure from my Goodreads list, and it makes me sad. And that's why I wrote on my blog about how I cleaned out a lot of books from my Goodreads a while ago.
I loved that blog.
And
if all of you are feeling book guilt, we'll link to that in the show notes. It's about what was it titled? Cleaning?
How to clean out your TBR or your to be read list. I think, and I got the inspiration for that post from a post on Book Riot that I linked to in my post. So we'll throw both of those in the show notes for you. But it's basically just the thought that, like, I don't know how many you guys or how many books you have in your to be read list, but I had like close to 200, which is just sort of unrealistic because new good books are being written at such a quick pace, and there's always going to be more to read than you have time to read. And I just started feeling like a slave to the list. Like if I finished one book, it was like, okay, what's on the list? And that's just not how I wanted to do reading anymore. So I cleaned out the list. I didn't clean it out very far. I got it down to like 128 or 129 books. And now I'm committed to not adding anything new to the list unless I have it under 100. Which has been difficult, especially with this podcast, because so many people recommend things to us. And I'm like, no, I'm not putting it on the list, which is tough. So I sort of want to get back in the habit of, like, if there's a book that I feel like rereading just because I enjoy it, I would like to give myself permission to reread some of my favorite books. Even though it feels unproductive because that's a book that you read that you've already read before, and there are all these other books on your list waiting for you. And I just am so sick of feeling that pressure. So I want to reread some stuff. I want to get back in the habit of just going to the bookstore or the library and seeing what's there, seeing if anything catches my eye, instead of, like, right now when I go to the library, I have to, like, make sure I have my phone or make sure I have my list, or like, do they have this one in stock? Do they have this one in stock? Because if they don't, it's not worth going. And it's like, no,
it's
that's not true. There are other books there. Yeah. So just taking a more relaxed approach to reading over the summer, I think will
be
good.
So I think some of my favorite books I found completely by accident that way.
I'm almost afraid of it now. like I used to be such a shelf browser as a kid. Like, I think I mentioned in our last episode, that's how I found The Poisonwood Bible by Barbara Kingsolver, was just, like, on a shelf at the library. I was like, okay, I'll read this. And I don't do that anymore. I never take a chance on books anymore. And I don't know if it's because my time is so limited. I'm just afraid to pick up a book without hearing anything about it first, or without having, like, 17 reviews and recommendations to back it up. But I feel like the list is so long and you just don't want to waste your time on a book that's not going to be good. So you only go to the ones that are recommended. And I could probably really do to broaden my perspective that way. How do you feel about shelf browsing?
I definitely agree with you that I think our time is so limited, and we definitely think this on the podcast too, about like being essential. Like, what is essential? Like, only read what's essential. But reading's not supposed to be essential. It's supposed to be fun in addition to being, you know, educational and all those things. So I do think we put like way too much pressure on ourselves to only have productive reading, which is silly because we've already discussed that, you know, we don't only need to be productive in our creativity. It's a good parallel to draw for us before summer vacation arrives. How do you feel about not finishing books?
I've gotten much more accepting about that in the last couple of years than I used to be. Like, before, it was like, never could I start a book and not finish it. Like, I was committed to that book. And lately I've been more like, you know what? I am not committed to that book. As a matter of fact, I didn't finish a book just 2 weeks ago. The Unraveling of Mercy Lewis, which is not a popular book to not finish. A lot of people really like that book. And I just wasn't connecting to the characters. And there was nothing wrong with the writing. But wherever, like, it just wasn't the book that I wanted to be reading at the moment. So I just brought it back to the library and didn't deal with it anymore.
I was going to say, I can remember the first book that I ever just did not finish. And it was a big deal. Because I felt like I was quitting or giving up.
Which book was it?
I hate like calling people out, but it was Jen Hatmaker's Seven, which I feel is a book that everybody really enjoyed. Like you typically.
I've heard good things.
And I just did not connect with that one. That's a really good word. Like I got into chapter like 3 and I was like, I could be done now. And I closed the book. And I took it back to the library. I was like, I don't need to spend my time reading this when I'm like looking forward to reading with dread. Like, it's probably not a good attitude to have about your reading time. Like, ugh, I guess I'll read now.
Yeah, it's definitely not what you want to feel. And I will say that if it's a library book, I have very little problem with not finishing books now. But if it's a book that I bought because the library didn't have it, or because I saw it at the bookstore and was like, oh, that looks good or whatever. If it's a book that I own, I have a really hard time not finishing it because then it feels like wasted money.
That makes sense to me, too.
Now, the other thing I've noticed about my to-be-read list on Goodreads is that it's full of a lot of books that my library doesn't have. And so now it's down to the books where I'm like, I need to just go and buy these if I want to read them. And what if I don't like them?
That's a good thought.
So that's, it's just another perspective. But I will say that it's easier to give up nonfiction halfway through than it is fiction. Fiction feels more personal for some reason. It feels like you're giving up on the characters.
Yeah, you're giving up on people, and that's not just the topic or something like that.
Yeah, but if I had the option of giving up on Bleak House by Charles Dickens and did not have to read it for class, I would have given up on that thing on like page 5.
That's funny. So have you ever thought about like the books that you buy because they're not at the library, if you don't want to finish them, to donate them to the library so the library has?
I don't even know how that works with my library.
I don't know either.
Like I'm sure that they have a donation program. What I usually do is we've got like 6 free little libraries in my neighborhood. And Hadley and I walk past them all the time when we go on our walks. And so what I usually do is if there's a book that I either liked, but no, I'm not going to read again, or was so-so about, I will just toss it in the basket of the stroller. And the next time we see a book that we want from one of the free little libraries, I trade them out.
Perfect.
And then I feel like, because the way the free little library works is you can either take a book and bring it home and read it and return it, or you can donate your own books or do a trade and switch. Yeah, and I like to trade because a lot of the times I feel like I'm trading up, but I'm not necessarily trading books that like nobody else is going to want. Like it's not like a 70s romance novel or something. It's just something that's like maybe popular, but I didn't enjoy that somebody else might.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So I do that with a lot of my books.
You should just print off a list of your Goodreads books that aren't at the library and put that in the little free library and say like, looking for these.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like it's like literary, like on, like not online dating, but like, like real life dating for books.
Yeah. Like literary panhandling. I don't know.
Yeah. Like I just like have my phone number on there and be like, please text me if you have these.
Please tell me if you do that. I want you to do that now.
I don't think I will. Yeah. I feel like there are people who actually would call me though and be like, yeah, we've got this book. And then I'd be all introverted and like, oh, thanks. Just like,
leave it in the library. Yeah. I'll be down in 10 minutes. I hope you're gone then. Yeah. Being an introvert has its own special problems.
It does.
Anytime that I have to like talk to the librarian, like to check out a book or to like pay a fine. Cause I'm definitely one of those people, like if I just need 2 more days to finish a book rather than surrender it back to the library, I will take that 20-cent hit. Like no problem. I'll pay 20 cents to keep this book and not have to wait another 6 months for it. So like anytime I have to talk to the librarian, I always just hope that I'm holding like good literature in my hand.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be checking out a DVD. I want to be checking out, like, a Middlemarch for them to see me reading, which is maybe a snobby way to look at it.
I'm sure they don't care as much as we think they do.
Probably not.
I haven't talked to a librarian in years. Like, I just haven't needed to. And now I'm to the point where, like, I'm going to have to, because I've told you this story,
yes,
like, not on the podcast officially, but now it's going to be like I'm revealing myself to be the library delinquent that I am. I checked out Euphoria several weeks ago based on your recommendation, mm-hmm, and I cannot find it. I lost it like the day that it entered my house. I have no idea where it is, and I don't know if we should blame my pregnancy brain, which is what my husband thinks is the problem, or Hadley being a toddler and picking it up and stashing it away somewhere. But we have gone through like every inch of the house and we cannot find it.
Aww.
So I just renewed it and bought myself another 3 weeks to search, but I'm pretty sure that it's just gone to the abyss, and I'm going to have to talk to the librarian about how much money do I owe you, because I have officially become one of those people who loses books.
Yeah, I've never lost a book from the library. I don't even know what kind of margins they charge. That'll be interesting.
I've heard that it's like $30. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard that it's kind of expensive because they don't consider it just the cost of the book. They consider it like the processing. Mm-hmm. And I sort of want to be like, what if I just buy you a new book on Amazon and I stand here and tape the barcode onto it and tape the protective cover onto it for you, like on a volunteer basis? But I feel like they wouldn't take kindly to that.
No, probably not. I was thinking the same thing. My frugal mind was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, so I'm like, just in case I like, I know I feel like I might procrastinate on my admission of my shame. So I'm planning on like, maybe I should just check out as many books from the library as I can and read them right now, just in case there's like an overlap where they're like, you're not allowed to check books out until you come up here and like,
yeah, fix. I don't think that would happen on one book. Maybe if you had like 30 of them.
But I think it would take some time for the overdue fees to add up. They cap you at, I think if you owe more than $10, you can't check out more books. So it would take some time for that $10 to accrue. But then I would owe $10 plus the cost
the 30
of the book.
Or 35 or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, best of luck in finding Euphoria. And I mean that as the book title and not actual Euphoria. I don't know if that's possible.
I really wanted to read it. I was like, oh, where'd it go? Like, I want to read this book.
Yeah. Maybe you need to like schedule someone to come clean your house and they'll find it for you.
Yeah, I don't even know. Although that would be a very good excuse to have a house cleaner come, wouldn't it?
It would. Yeah. So yeah, is that the end of season one?
I think it is the end of season one. We kind of ended it on a downer of like lost books, but well.
People will just have to tune in to season two to find out.
We're ending on a cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger of the forgotten book.
Yeah. See if I found my book. See if you wrote your book and finished Middlemarch.
What? This is perfect. We just set ourselves up for a really awesome season two start.
Yeah. Come on. You got to tune in again next fall, guys. It's like, otherwise you're never going to know.
You will not. Absolutely. But in all seriousness, we do thank you guys for listening clear through to the end. It has been such a joy to put this podcast together and to think about it and just like dream up what it could be someday and just have so much fun. I think it's a creative project that has been 100% more fun than I expected it would be. I don't know if that's true for you, Ashley.
It is. It's been, I don't even know what the right word is. I don't know if fun is the right word for me, but it's just been, I don't know, it's been like more informative than I expected it to be, maybe. Like, I thought it would be sort of a cool project and I didn't really know if it would go anywhere. But I've been consistently surprised by like how many people listen and how many people say that they really enjoy hearing from our guests. And then like our guests have so many great things to say. Like, I just feel like we're like privileged to get to hear from them all. So yeah, it's been a really good experience. It's gone, in all honesty, like way better than I expected it would. So that's cool.
Yeah, it is definitely fun to be surprised by your own success. That's, I guess, a great thing to be surprised by. So again, we thank everyone for listening along with us and following us on this journey and, I guess, helping us to take care of our ums and so's. And then we keep thinking we'll get better as we talk more into a podcast microphone.
We'll come back for season two and you'll be like, absolutely. And I'll be like, so.
So.
They'll all be back.
It'll all be back. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm already out of practice, guys. Thank you to everyone who's left a review or shared the podcast or told somebody about it. We've gotten a lot of people who are like, oh, so-and-so said to listen, and I did, and it was great. And that is, I mean, absolutely flattering to us and makes it all worth it that other people are finding value here, just like Ashley and I are. So if you can, if you haven't already, and you can find it in your heart to take a few minutes out of your day, we would love for anyone to leave a review on iTunes. And you can be as honest as you want. One-star reviews are okay. But I know iTunes doesn't show that you have reviews until after, is it five?
I think it's six, five. It's somewhere. It's like it's a pretty low number, but as of right now, we only have two, which is fine. Like, we know that iTunes reviews are not the easiest thing to take time out of your day to do. And we haven't really wanted to beg for reviews because, like, I know that's what everybody does. And we're kind of just doing this for fun. But it would be cool if we got a few more reviews so people could find us in iTunes a little bit more easily. And so that the star rating would actually show up because we got more than five. So all we really need is like three of you.
Yes.
I mean, we'll take however many reviews you want to give us, but like if there are three of you who could just leave a review, we would be so appreciative.
That would make the season, absolutely, even more so than it already has. So yes, if you can find it in your heart, leave a review on iTunes. Otherwise, we are going to put together a listener survey for everyone who is listening, and we'd love for you guys to fill it out. And it's going to talk about things like, what did you love? What did you not love? What could we be better at? And we also want to have people submit guests for us to interview. So if there's someone that you keep thinking, oh, they need to interview person X, we would love to reach out to them and see if we can make it happen. So let us know who you want to hear from.
Yes. And even if you have specific questions for certain people too, like when we're putting together our interview outlines, sometimes I'm like, is this like the stuff that people are going to want to know from this person, or are there questions that we're missing? So even if you have questions that you want us to bring up more often to our guests or to a specific guest that you recommend, for sure you can mention those in the survey because we are going to work really hard to make season two even better than the first season. And it would help if we knew what you wanted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of season two, we will be back. We're not quite sure when. We've not set a date for ourselves, mostly because, you know, Ashley needs to figure out life with child number two. And I may or may not have an office and or place to record come November. So
yeah. When is your house supposed to be finished? What's the timeline for that?
It's a rolling timeline because it keeps getting pushed back, as I think all construction projects do. But as a very like type A organized individual, every single setback like just makes me want to pull my hair out.
Yeah.
So we should have broken ground in April and it's the end of May. And I heard today that they won't break ground for like two or three more weeks. And I'm starting to get a little itchy about it all.
So that'll still be an exciting milestone.
Exactly.
Though.
It will be, absolutely. But we're thinking it'll probably take about 6 months from the time that we break ground. So the sooner we break ground, the sooner I get in a house and the sooner I have an office and the internet again. And that might not be till November or December at this point, which is looking a little bleak considering it's May. So pray for my sanity.
Yeah, so we'll be back at some point, depending on both of our sanity. We'll see.
Thank you in advance for grace.
Yeah, so we'll let you know. Yeah, and also along with the listener survey in our show notes, you can sign up to find out when season two comes out. So we're not going to like bombard your email with things all summer because like we said, we're taking a break. Like we're not going to email you all the time. But if you do want to find out when season two is coming out so that you don't miss it, you can hop on our email list there and you'll get an email letting you know when we're starting back up again.
Huh. that's about it for season one, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the end. So thanks for listening, and we will see you guys in a couple months. We hope you have a great rest of your summer.
Yes, thank you, everyone. And as usual, you can probably find us on social media most of the summer if we're, you know, not being as disciplined as we ought to be. So find us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and we will keep the conversation about creativity going.
Listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Krebs or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If there's a guest you'd love to hear from on the podcast, or if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.
You.
We'll cut that out of the podcast.
We will.